kind of fears do you have? Pastors often get very anxious before worship, at least I do. I've always sort of been a little bit petrified that I'm going to get up here and I'm going to forget everything that I've written. And I look at my notes and my mind draws a blank and I can't even read. And I would stand here open mouth, dumbfounded, you know. And the only thing I would be able to say is, if you've heard it before, it's the same today. Jesus is Lord, and sit down. That has never happened. I'm thankful to God that that has not happened. But if you think about life, and even around Christmas time, we do have all kinds of, sometimes we call it worry, sometimes we call it anxiety, but if we're honest, the word fear is at the core of it. For all the different kinds of ways in which we celebrate Christmas, there are people that wanted to travel and they had their flights canceled. That upped their fear level. For other places in the United States, snow and ice hit. And now there's fear and anxiety about, will they get there safely? You know, will they be able to make it on time? Because someone has prepared a banquet, and who's going to eat it all? There's the fears about, will they like the gift I got them? Or will I like the one they get me? There's that kind of anxiety. There is within us this human nature, this sinful nature that recognizes we are not Lord over all things. We do not have all things within our power and our control. And we get this, whatever it is, whenever it is, whether it's the fear of heights or bugs or what have you, we can have fear. And yet, every year, the Christmas message from Luke chapter 2 to the shepherds, it's about fear. Actually, it's the opposite. You do not have to be afraid. Has anybody ever told you that, whatever you're facing, you know, don't worry? Did that help? You know, all of a sudden everything in the world wasn't fine, and you kind of sigh and your shoulders relax, and no. But the angels have a message that is of power, of the authority of God. They're not saying it just because that's the nice thing to say. It's what you say. They're saying a message of God to the world, and it is to the whole world. And that includes the shepherds. Do not be afraid. Now we know, after this many years of being in a Christian congregation, and we've heard the Christmas message over and over again, we sort of know what it's about. It's for unto you this day, you know, the Savior is born. But if you think about it, why would we be afraid of that? Moses was on Mount Sinai when God showed up. You got the burning bush. Moses was not at peace. Think of the other times when messengers, angels of the Lord, or the angel of the Lord manifested himself, and they showed up, and they were there for the benefit of the people. But how discontent and unease those situations became. Abraham entertained guests, and all of a sudden he's running around like a chicken without a head. You know, he's, what do you want? What can I do for you? Let me get you some food, and on. And others like that. When Gabriel showed up to Mary, Mary just said, oh, how nice. You know, no. It made her, you know, her ease was evaporated. Into our world comes God's presence, and it sets something palpitating within us that the Bible sometimes calls fear. Sometimes that fear is because we're in awe of God, the majesty of God. It's how we're placed in at ill at ease when we have someone of power or authority over us in our presence. In many kinds of jobs that I had growing up and all, you know, when the boss shows up, everybody acted differently. But if it was just another worker, you know, we were fine with that. But when the boss who could fire you shows up, everybody, you know, you watched what you said, you made sure you were doing your task, you were extra vigilant. In our world today, unfortunately, some of that has changed. Some people care less, even with the boss showing up. But the message of the scripture is the one in charge, the one over life and death, is coming. And that news put the shepherds ill at ease. Because into the world, into our history, into our flesh, into our very heart and mind and our human relationships with God, the Savior was coming and has come. It was the news, it was the announcement that Christ was born. Now, Christ means anointed one, the chosen one of God that is spoken of in the Old Testament, especially in the passages we might recall from Isaiah, you know, the suffering servant. This one was now here. And humanity wondered, what's going to happen now? But the message of the angels give them some comfort and some courage. Because the message that one is here has the message, he's a savior. He's here to rescue. He's here to help. He's here to do something that we can't do for ourselves. But in reality, even that kind of message and that kind of news can still increase our fear. If you've ever gone to the doctor, if you've been a parent and you took your children to the doctor, if you're married and you took your spouse to the doctor, what kinds of fears are there in that doctor's examining room? You know, because we want the solution. We want the fix. But don't touch me. Because if you touch me, I know it's going to hurt. You know, if you treat me, I know that's going to be miserable. That's just seems the way it is, isn't it? You know, I know, I remember as a kid, every time I went to the doctor, I was resisting it because I knew I was going to get a shot, and I hated shots. You know, I thought that was the standard protocol for a military doctor. You have to give them shots. That's just what it is. You know, if they have a headache, you give them a shot. If they have a cold, you give them a shot. You know, and it just seemed to be that way. And I know it wasn't now that I'm older, but from a kid's perspective, but you know, some adults have that fear. The pastor where I vicared with him, he was my supervising pastor, you know, he didn't like hospitals. And he could faint at the sight of blood. An excellent career path to be a pastor who has to visit the sick, the elderly, you know. And sometimes we see those wounded, physically wounded, as well as heart and mind kind of brokenness. And yet he had that fear. The shepherds have a fear that God is coming. God has come. This is the God who can judge. This is the God who can grant eternal life. What gives them comfort is the angel said, he comes to save. You and I celebrate Christmas probably with less fear than what they experienced. We celebrate the message that our Savior is born. And since we live in this year, we know the history of the Savior. We know that he goes to the cross of Calvary. And we know that's not a pretty sight to behold. We know before he gets there, yeah, they make fun of him. They try to trick him. And even he goes through physical abuse. And we know he dies. And we know he says from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so when he dies, we're not quite in that kind of fearful mode, because we know Easter is coming and he rises to new life. And because he lives, you and I live. Our fear level is somewhat different now, now that we know about Good Friday and Easter. But it's still relevant, because if we were announcing that Christ is coming tomorrow, would our peacefulness stay constant? Or would we too have our sinful nature plaguing us? You're not good enough. You haven't done enough. You know, he knows you. It's worse than that Santa message. He knows when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. God knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And he doesn't miss any of it. You know, when the Bible says, how much detail does God know? He knows the very number of hairs on your head. So I chose to make it easy. But you think about it, God has known from birth, conception, and on to my age now, how many I've actually had and how many I will ever have. He knows all the details. Can you imagine how you might feel being next to someone who knows that much about you? He knows when you were bitter. He knows when you were jealous. He knows when you were envious. He knows when you were spiteful, angry, looking for revenge. He knows when you were judgmental. He knows when you were critical without evidence. He knows when you judged people to hell. He knows when you said it, go to hell. Jesus Christ comes into the world in history, in physical presence of a human body, and he comes to us. And there can still be a part of us that fears. We get anxious. You know, the Lutheran version of, when do you want to make sure you go to church? Because, you know, you got to do that much for God. It's when you get baptized, then when you get confirmed, when you get married, and not again until you get buried. You want to get yourself covered and right with God at least four times in your lifetime. And that reflects a silliness of our fear, because that's not what God asked of us. He asked us, do not be afraid. He instructs us to not be afraid, because he comes with his grace. He comes with his mercy. He comes to bring peace that the world and all the things that do scare us cannot overcome. He comes to give us the gift of the babe in the manger, who isn't looking to poke you and intentionally hurt you, but is looking to restore your heart, renew your mind, and comfort you with his peace and give you the promise of everlasting life. Life now with him, and life forever in his kingdom. The message of the angels, do not be afraid. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not afraid. But when we think about the presence of God, for myself, the image would be, I do not like heights. So you know the famous words, do not look down, right? If you've ever gotten up on a ladder, what do? You look down. And you realize how vulnerable you are. With the coming of Christ, humanity looks down. And we realize how vulnerable we are. And yet, here we are in that suspended position. we recognize here comes the arms of God wrapping around us in the arms of his Son, who spreads his arms on the cross, that you and I may have forgiveness of sins. And he, with his mighty arm and power, he overcomes sin, death, and the devil. And with that mighty arm, he proclaims his victory. And he still has a hold of us the whole time. The shepherds went to Bethlehem because the news was, yes, he is Lord. Yes, he is King. Yes, he's the anointed one. But what he brings is found in no one else. And so year after year, Christians have gathered in one of the Lord's houses, and we celebrate the fact that we do not have to live in fear. Yes, planes can have scheduled and not scheduled, canceled trips. And yes, there can be ice. And yes, the things of this world. But the news of God in Christ is, do not be afraid. I've overcome the world. Whatever you're afraid of, whatever you don't want to admit you're afraid of, recognize that coming into the house of the Lord is the great physician. And here he says, I restore you, mind and body, heart and soul, and I call you my own. And your brokenness, you don't have to continue with. And yet, you get to go forward in the newness of life, in the grace and mercy and peace that he gives you. That's what's part of Christmas. And I think that's what brings us into the house. From year to year, the Christmas message doesn't change. It doesn't have to. In fact, it shouldn't. And year after year, we bring our journey of life for this particular calendar year, and not all of it was great. We bring it into the house of the Lord, and we need to hear the message of the angels. We too don't need to be afraid, because born for you in the city of Bethlehem a long time ago, but he still rules today, is our Savior, Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas. Amen.